Hello, friends. Welcome back to our OALC CASO Shoulders of Giants podcast. My name is Nathan Adams. I'd like to begin with a short apology. I know it's been quite a while since I managed to put out an episode, and as I'm sure it has for all of you, the world has changed a bit for me in the last month or so. But I'm very pleased to say that one of the very small, slight side benefits of isolation is that people are much more available for podcast episodes, so I'm hoping to bring you several more in short order in the next little while, which will hopefully make you feel connected to OALC and give you something to do while you are inside. There are a few brave people that are actually not allowed to stay inside, and I'm speaking, of course, of our frontline workers, those who are deemed essential, particularly in healthcare, who have to go out into the world and risk their safety to make sure that our society continues to function. As Canadians, we are very grateful for these frontline workers and all of the exceptional things that they do. Today I'll be presenting an interview I did with Michaela Wilson, who runs a company full of frontline workers who spend their time caring for Ontario seniors. Just before I present that, I should tell you we have a very special piece of music for the end of the episode today, one written by our own Kashka Ironside and performed by Laura Tremblay. Please hang around at the end of the episode to hear it in its entirety. Now, just for clarification, in the early part of Michaela's interview, she and I debate the difference between an LC and a YF. This is, in fact, the same position. It's the youngest member of an OALC team, and an LC was a leader counselor, and then sometime in the last 10 years or so, it was changed to a youth facilitator. And so those two terms, LC and YF, tend to confuse those of us who've been around for a little while. And now, without further ado, my interview with Michaela Wilson. Today I'm speaking with Michaela Wilson, OALC alumni, author, McMaster grad, and co-founder of Senior Support Services of Southern Ontario, a company that focuses on helping older adults through their cognitive, physical, and emotional struggles. Michaela, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, we're delighted. And I'm so pleased that you were free to join us, considering the somewhat crazy situation we find ourselves in.
Yes, I'm not doing too much, so I've got lots of time.
Well, that's good, and I appreciate that. The one nice thing about podcasting is that we can do it in isolation, so
yes,
that
part is good.
I'm fascinated to hear about your time at OALC. I've heard a little bit from a few people, but nothing too concrete. So can you tell me about your time there? I know you were there as staff and as a leader.
Yeah, so I started kind of my OALC journey in grade 8, and I went to the Intermediate Athletics 3. And then shortly after that, I went to the Secondary Athletics in grade 10. And then right after that, I worked as an LC, now called a YF, which I have a really hard time.
Oh, you're not alone on that one. I can't tell you how often that happens. And I have some staff I've worked with who learned to say the correct term, and then once they've been away from the center for more than 6 months, it just reverts to LC.
Yeah, so and their whole logo was you can't spell OALC without LC, so it's hard to say the YF part. But
oh, wow.
I'd never heard
that before today. So now that's going to make it even harder. Okay.
Yeah, okay. That was more like our motto. Anyway, so I worked as an LC and now a YF for the summers of grade 10, 11, and 12. And I worked 2 weeks for those summers. So I was a YF many times. And then once I graduated, so with the athletic camp, you actually can't be a YF once you've past grade 12. So once I surpassed grade 12, I actually came back as a CIRA presenter, and I presented at least 5 times. And then I was granted the opportunity to work as a teacher facilitator for the secondary school leadership week. So I have been to OALC as a student, guest, and staff member, which is awesome. Yeah.
That is pretty cool. Okay, that's wonderful. So you have a real wealth of experience at OALC. I originally asked you for one story. You may want to give me more than one, but that's okay. Could you tell me a story about your time at OALC and what made that experience so special?
Yeah, I do find that question quite tough because it has so many different answers based on kind of what role while I was there. But I think
I know it's a cruel and unusual question. It really is. But I love asking it because it forces us to sort of dive down to the depth there is. But it's okay for you to tell me too. We have plenty of time for two. So go ahead.
Oh, that's good. I think the biggest impact OELC had on me was when I was a YF. Just being a leader and kind of in charge of a group of girls. So I'll kind of explain for people that don't completely understand is that I was a leader for, 10 younger girls. So that would have been grade 8 students and I would have been in grade 10. And it was quite amazing. And I don't think I ever realized how much words and actions can impact people until I really worked in that role. And one of my like favorite memories I ever tell is I had a brother cabin. So I had the male cabin who we did activities with, and the LC or the YF, he would get his cabin of grade 8 boys. And there was a mix of grade 7 and 8. And some of them, were football players. Some of them were artists. Some of them were track athletes. And he got the whole cabin to pretend that they were birds. And they would fly around OELC and they would call their cabin the nest, and he was the mother bird. And that whole kind of situation really just changed the whole environment for OELC, is that it didn't matter kind of what you were or where you came from. It was all about, not being judgmental and living in the moment. And it was okay to be silly, and, finding those commonalities that made people laugh was just so important. And it wasn't until kind of being in that role, you truly could see how much of an impact you had. And, I remember I would just start screaming a song and I would have 30, students behind me screaming too. And, if you started a dance, they would all start a dance, and everyone just matches kind of your level and your excitement. And, being a YF and having that role and, having those people look up to you, it was quite an amazing thing that such a small, silly thing can change a whole environment of kind of the camp, which was quite awesome. And then one of my other favorite memories is as a leader, and you have the cabin of girls, obviously you have homesick girls. So always within the first or second night, you'd have the kids coming to you crying, bawling that they were wanted to go home. And I always said, make it past Sierra Day. If you make it past, the Wednesday, which is Sierra Day, you'll be okay. And then after that day, it was just all of their fears and all of their, homesickness would go away. And then they'd be crying at the end of the week because they didn't want to go home, which was like such a cool thing to see and help, the leaders get through. And it was really amazing because you're young too as a YF, right? And you're growing and you're kind of developing yourself. But to be able to do that with a group is quite amazing experience.
Oh, and the YFs are such a key part of the process for grade 7 and 8. I have some experience with this. And although our teacher facilitators and our coordinators can be wonderful, important people, there is no hero bigger than a youth facilitator. That's just how it is. And so I still maintain, as I've watched the courses go past me, that it is the youth facilitators that make the course. And it is also them that gets to have the most extraordinary experience of watching what it is to inspire a young leader to come alive, and have it be them so close to their own age. It's quite something.
And I think, being an alumni with that and going back week after week, you truly don't know the impact you have until that last day when you have those students hugging you and telling you how much of an impact they have made on you. And, you never expected that to happen when you first walk in that role. And doing the good nights and reading them stories and just, creating that bond is amazing. And, I see them on social media now growing up, and now they're all in university and, have all become such wonderful individuals. But seeing how you were some small point in their life that, helped them in any situation is, an experience not many people can say that they have, which is amazing that OELC provides that.
Wow. Okay. I don't think I'm going to ask you for more stories, or we're actually going to go down a rabbit hole and stay here talking about OELC experiences all night. And don't get me wrong, that sounds wonderful. But I do want to leap ahead a little bit here,
yeah,
because we also want to talk to you about the work you're doing now. So
yeah.
I promised everybody that we're going to get into all of the issues around COVID-19 and the wonderful things Michaela's up to, but I'd like to hear about Senior Support Services of Southern Ontario and how it came into being. Tell me the origin story of your business and what you're up to right now.
Yeah, so I have a business partner and her name is Spencer. And we actually met at OELC, which is the neat thing about that. So we went to competitive high schools. So I did know her a little bit through, you know, playing badminton and volleyball and things like that. But we didn't really foster a friendship until the secondary athletics camp when we went in grade 10. And then from that, we both ended up at McMaster University and we ended up being roommates for 3 years after our first year. So we both finished our 4-year degree with honors gerontology and health studies with a certificate in applied behavior analysis, which is learning about autism and how to use ABA, which is a type of therapy. So during our degree, I actually worked as a personal support worker through the government, which is doing house-to-house care. So that means I would have a list of about 10 clients or so, and I would go into their homes, I would shower them, I would help them cooking, clean. It's pretty much just a way to keep seniors into their homes. It was a very fast-paced environment, and it did not allow for really any personal relationships with any of the people that I was visiting. Gotcha. And then Spencer, on the other hand, was working as a private companion, and she was going into nursing homes for an extended kind of period of time. So we were seeing the difference of, you know, my quick 10-minute visits and her 3-hour visits. And we kind of, you know, talked a lot about the gaps that seniors were facing and kind of came down to it that, you know, people are lacking the time to be able to give that quality care. That's not just showering and feeding. It's the mental, it's the cognitive, it's the games, the activities. So due to Spencer and I kind of already having that past experience, it was really quite easy to start our business. We started actually by developing a presentation called Train Your Brain, and we went around to nursing homes and retirement homes and we presented to people, and we played games and we did activities and we taught them about dementia and about cognitive impairments. And that was actually kind of our promo. So once we did that, we just got tons of clients, and within a month we were hiring employees, and every week we were getting more calls, and it's kind of just blew up since realistically our first week of really launching the business.
Wow. How we care for the older adults in our society is exceptionally important, but the importance and flavor of that care has changed quite a bit in the last month. Mm-hmm. What kind of impact has COVID-19 had on your business?
A lot. At first, obviously, it was very stressful and very unknown, and it's still very unknown right now. No one really knows, and we're kind of going hour by hour and day by day, as everyone is in the world right now, which is quite scary. But it kind of started with the restrictions of our nursing home and retirement home. So we do a lot of extra care in those facilities with people's loved ones, and it was kind of, you know, having to call our families and tell them that we're not allowed in, we can't go visit, was quite heartbreaking for our, you know, families, for us, for our employees, and not really knowing what to do and how to have those conversations with people. And it was really just learning about constant communication, because it is every hour on the hour. And this is a hard time for everyone. So it's really tapping into Skyping with our clients, calling our clients, figuring out how we can support them if we're not allowed into the home based on the restrictions right now.
And are you finding that different homes have different restrictions? Is that sort of consistent?
Yeah. Some nursing homes we're not allowed in. And some nursing homes were deemed essential because we're private caregivers. So it's completely dependent on the home and what they've decided. So we are visiting some clients that the home has allowed private caregivers into.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about the mood of your clients. How are they responding to all of this?
It's quite difficult from our perspective because a lot of our clients have dementia, so they don't know really what's going on, and they don't understand why their families aren't coming to visit them anymore, and they don't understand, you know, why people are wearing masks or gloves, and it's kind of creating a very unsettling environment for them as well, which is increasing, you know, triggers and moods and behaviors that you might not have seen before this. So it's definitely figuring out how to navigate, and even, you know, calling our clients and them saying, well, why aren't you here? You've come every day. And, you know, figuring out how to have that conversation without, you know, making them sad, because they might not remember that that's happening, and we don't want them to get into a very negative headspace. So it's been quite difficult to figure out and navigate those conversations for sure.
Oh, wow. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about the safety protocols, because you've had to adopt quite a few new protocols in order to keep your staff and your clients safe. What have you had to do?
So first is we can't go visit more than one client. So that has completely reduced a lot of our girls' hours and our hours as well, as because we cannot cross visit. So it's sticking with one client and just visiting that client. Another one is honestly just doing exactly what's mandated by the government. So if people are traveling and if they're sick and all those things, they're not going into work. And thirdly, it's, you know, Spencer and I are not making our girls go to work. If they are not comfortable and do not feel safe, then we are not mandating them to go to work. So it's also figuring out how we can support the families and support our employees and finding that happy medium without forcing anyone to go into work right now.
Have you had any indication that the protocols are going to get tighter still, or are we just in a waiting game?
I think we're in a waiting game right now. I don't think it could go any tighter other than like it's a complete lockdown, and or if COVID appears in one of our nursing homes that we are at. We haven't had that happen, luckily. There's been, you know, updates and testing in all the homes that we're going into, and they have been great with the constant communication and letting us know too what's going on. But right now we really have no idea, again, day by day, figuring it out and trusting, you know, the staff and the homes that we're going into as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So since we've been spending our time talking about the impact of OALC, and you and I had a nice chat about all the positive, wonderful things that happen when we're there, a lot of our alumni mentioned that OALC has helped them with their mental health, with their perseverance, their resiliency. So tell me a little bit from your perspective, how has your OALC training been useful during this crisis?
Yeah, so I think this crisis has impacted people negatively, mentally, a lot. And it wasn't really until I kind of sat down and thought about that and what that kind of meant. You know, OALC came at a time in my life where I was kind of mentally struggling, where I didn't feel accepted, and that whole bit of, you know, what a lot of teens and people do in high school and don't feel like they have a place. And OELC kind of was my little utopia where I could be what I am as a human being, and I was completely accepted and never judged. And, you know, I was able to grow my personality and who I was as a person and have that positive outlook. And, you know, you develop how to plan, you develop how to lead, you develop how to make a small impact. And those are all kind of things that are making a huge difference, like being a support for my business partner and my family and my clients. And, you know, thinking of those little small impacts, like those small acts of kindness that you do at OELC, we're doing that with our business right now. You know, we're sending cards and we're sending as many things as we can think of that are small acts of kindness to bring, you know, our family's joy. And it's also just like planning my day, even though there's nothing to do half the time, but it, you know, doing a paint night with my roommates and making sure that we're having fun and leading a dance class, even though, you know, I do dance, but I doing those things and not caring just because we need to get out of a negative mental headspace is the best way to do it.
I understand. I have a large collection of kindergarten students that I teach on a regular basis. I have dance classes, and I taught a 10-minute dance lesson to a wall. today, which I had to record and then send off to them. And I'm sure they're going to love it, but there's something very strange about doing it by yourself in a room.
Yourself, you know,
you're used to having 20 teeny tiny little people all jumping up and down and being engaged. It is a very different world.
Yes. Yeah. And it's, you know, figuring out how to be positive when everything is not very positive right now, and kind of fostering that OELC mentality of everyone helps everyone and the helping hands kind of thing, I think is going a long way during this crisis.
Okay. So I know this isn't the most ideal time to be publishing a new resource book, but I know you just released your Any Game, Any Brain last week. Can you tell us a little bit about it and where we can find it?
Although it's a horrible time with the crisis, it's actually the perfect time to have this book come out because of the content within the book. So the book really focuses on one-on-one activities and what you can do in your home with, you know, your loved one or your kid or anyone from 3 to 99. So it's actually the perfect resource because
I'm sorry, I'm wrong. This is the perfect time to release this resource. I apologize.
No, okay. Exactly. And that, because here in Ontario is so focused sometimes on activities in the gym and being active in the phys ed room, where this book is a little bit different, where it's focusing on that one-on-one and the small group and it's a lot of games and activities that you can just do sitting on your couch with your loved one, which is quite neat. Yeah.
That is great. So I know that you focused specifically on games that were going to be adaptable for people with lots of different cognitive differences, everything from dementia to Down syndrome. Can you tell me a little bit about what you had to modify in the games to make that work? Or were you just selecting activities that were universal?
So it definitely came from experience and actually playing the games and figuring out what would work and what wouldn't work. And it was, you know, sitting down and not just thinking of, oh, this is a universal game, how can I modify it? It was, okay, what do these people need and what can we provide them with, right? So simplified activities, easy to play, low equipment, lots of colors, shapes. Those kinds of things really fostered our creativity aspect. So they're not crazy complicated games, but they're definitely not games that you would think of sitting down and go, hey, let's play this. So it's kind of that where it's not insane 50 people, let's all play this insane dodgeball game. It's okay, how can I play with my 3-year-old who might be on the spectrum and can't do well with noises or you know, needs to sign or something like that, right? It's very kind of specific to that group of individuals.
Okay. Now, where can we find the resource? Because now I desperately want a copy.
Good. Yay. So it's on the Cira Ontario website. So Cira. And then you just go on to the resources and it will be the first book. It's promoted on their page right now.
That's perfect. So obviously the writing resources is part of your personal mandate. So tell me, is there something else on the way that you're working on or you're thinking about?
So actually, yes, there is. Spencer and I, and we're not sure if it's going to be published or if we'll actually put it out. Hopefully we will eventually, but right now we're very focusing on dementia kind of handbook and people working the front line. So kind of topics include of how to have small talk with a loved one who has dementia. So figuring out how to navigate those conversations, because a lot of people don't really know how to have those conversations, or figuring out how to make a dementia friendly space. And what does that mean? What does it look like? What is sundowning and how do you deal with that? And, you know, that kind of aspect. So it's way more focused on dementia and seniors is kind of our next resource.
Okay, that's great. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask you to take a little bit of a left turn here. And I want you to imagine for a second that you have an opportunity to speak to a young leader or someone in grade 7 and 8 or 9 or 10 even, who's considering a trip to OELC. Is there a message you would like to send to them?
Yes, do it. And be excited and be yourself. I think OELC is the place that you are going to be accepted for who you are. So if you feel right now you're in a place where you don't feel like that, because growing up, sometimes it's hard not to be judged. OELC is the perfect place to go to figure out who you are, who you want to be, and to allow that to shape you into the person kind of for the rest of your life.
So I'm still relatively new at this, so I am continuing to ask this question at the end of my podcast. Is there anything I should have asked you, but I didn't?
Honestly, no. I think your questions are great, and you asked me everything I could answer.
Thank you so much for being here today and for speaking with me. I really appreciate you sharing your insights and all the extraordinary things that you're doing, and I'm hoping maybe you can come back and talk to us again.
Yeah, that would be great. I appreciate you having me on here.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Just before I move on, I want to take a moment to stress that if you would like to find a copy of Michaela's new resource, Any Game, Any Brain, you can find it on the CIRA website, C-I-R-A, and have a quick search for it on Google and you will find it, and it is in the resource section. It should be the first book that pops up. Now, just before we get to our musical treat, I'm going to remind you to follow OELC on Facebook and on Instagram, and that you can find lots of more information about courses and other sorts of things at www.oelccaso.com. Now, since I began this podcast a few months ago, I've been asking my good friend Kashka Ironside to submit some music for the end of the podcast, and she wasn't quite sure what she wanted to share. But in the end, she decided to submit The Weight of My Mistakes, which is a beautiful song she wrote about a willow tree on the OELC grounds. Now, I wasn't sure which version she was going to send me, but I was delighted when she told me that the formal iTunes-proofed version performed by the golden-throated Laura Tremblay would be the version that we were allowed to use. So, without further ado, here is Kashka Ironside's The Weight of My Mistakes, as sung by Laura Tremblay, and I believe as played on bass by Jason O'Brien. Thank you all so much for listening. Stay safe, stay inside. Take care.
Was it as hard as